Hello, ladies, and welcome to another exciting episode on the Ask with Confidence podcast. We are so glad you're joining us today and hope you leave this episode feeling empowered to take on your most difficult conversations. I'm your host, Catherine Kanaki. I'm a nurse, mediator, and the chief operating officer at the American Negotiation Institute, and I am passionate about helping women like you get the most out of your conversations and get ahead in life. Before we start, is negotiation a critical part of what you do? Do you need to resolve conflict and persuade at work? If so, check out our website to learn more about our negotiation workshops. We've traveled the country working with professionals just like you, and we would love to work with you too. Check out the link in the description to learn more. Hi, everyone. I'm so excited. We have Brooke Gosdog with us today. Brooke, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Catherine. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. So I'm a researcher and a trainer. I'm involved in kind of organizational psychology. So I'm really trying to figure out how can we improve our work lives through elements like leadership and diversity, but of course also negotiations. And so I see these things as all really critical to trying to improve all this time that we're going to spend at work.
Fantastic. Well, we have a really exciting topic today. Today we are talking about moving away from the fix the woman mentality. And then we're going to talk about kind of what that looks like for us as women. What does that look like for organizations and companies? And then also getting into the topic of resilience. So why don't you start off by telling us, what do you mean by fix the woman mentality?
Yeah, so the fix the woman mentality, it sounds kind of brutal, but the idea is that it's this pattern of thinking that we need to, you know, simply to close the pay gap or the representation gap of women in leadership positions, we just need to train the women. We just need to invest more time and more efforts into giving them the skills that they need to succeed. And of course, on the one hand, this is helpful and it has been effective to some degree, but it really places the emphasis and the burden then on the women to invest the time in how they kind of develop themselves and prepare themselves for these different situations. The other side that we see, these kind of policies. So for example, I'm originally American, but I moved to Germany. And I found it really interesting that they developed a policy to increase the number of women in leadership positions. And of course, then that takes a little bit of the burden out of women's hands. However, that also means that sometimes you have really experienced, successful women on 30 different advisory boards. So that's not really diversity either. And then gender becomes more like a body count. How many women do we have? What's the critical mass that we need in order for to have some success? And so, while this fix the woman mentality places a lot of emphasis on kind of women and training women for these positions, these policies are also kind of perpetuating that stereotype as well.
Brilliant. And, you know, we're all about empowering women here. So I love that we're moving away from this idea that we are broken and it's something that needs to be fixed.
Exactly.
So as we're moving away from this fix the woman mentality, what does that look like for us as women? How do we do that?
So I think to kind of draw from popular press recently, I think there's a great quote from Michelle Williams from the Emmys. And she talked about how, you know, the next time a woman tells you what she needs in order to do her job, listen to her. Because one day she might actually thank you for allowing her to succeed because of her environment, because of her new place, and not in spite of it. And I thought that really summarizes the whole idea, is that companies can play a really large role, a pivotal role, in the success of women in these different positions. And so I think shifting the conversation from what can we train women to do to what can organizations do is a critical part of the movement now.
Brilliant. And that brings us to that second point. How can organizations kind of jump on board? How can they be supportive?
So there's a couple of different ways. First, I would say they can start trying to standardize these negotiation processes. So for example, there's a lot of research out there that shows that when it's clear that we can negotiate, there's no gender difference. Men and women negotiate at the same rate. They negotiate for the same things. And so what organizations can start to do is try to make this process a little bit more standard and more transparent. We see a lot of trends, for example, with pay transparency. Now this is really helpful and it's starting a lot of important conversations, but still it's placing a lot of the burden on women to negotiate. And so by making the process also clear, I know when I can negotiate, I know how to negotiate, I know with whom I need to negotiate, and it makes it more likely for me to use negotiation as a tool to improve my work life, for example.
Brilliant. So I know there are some limitations with pay transparency, but still putting a lot of emphasis on making sure that the woman is asking. So if a company is using something like pay transparency, how can they make it so that way all the burden doesn't fall on the females to ask?
Well, I think one of the things is probably to examine exactly what is being negotiated. So another aspect that organizations can engage in is not just pay transparency, but also this idea, and this is borrowing from some other research that came out recently, is this idea of a negotiation menu. And so making it also not only clear what's being negotiated or what salaries are there in the organization, but also the idea of what else can be negotiated. Can we look beyond just salary? Are there certain options that maybe a colleague in another department has negotiated and it's worked really well for them, but I'm just not aware of it. So I just don't know that it's even an option. And so I like to think of it in terms of, you know, imagine you're at a restaurant. If you go and you order something, you know, from the menu and they say you don't have it, do you get up and leave? Probably not. If you're hungry, you're going to stay. You're going to try to figure something out. What else is there on the menu? And I see the negotiation as the same sort of situation. And so for pay transparency, you're only offering kind of one thing on the menu. But if you expand it and make it more clear also what can be negotiated, that alleviates some of the burden for women. And it also gives them an opportunity to shape their work life in a way that fits them best.
Hi, this is Catherine Kanapke. I'm the Chief Operating Officer at the American Negotiation Institute, and we have some exciting news for you. Our new online course will be launching on January 13th, 2020. Over the past few years, we've traveled the country teaching professionals in procurement, sourcing, and sales the keys to effective negotiation. We've taken all of the lessons from those workshops and put it into this powerful course. This course will provide you and your team with a powerful set of strategic tools that you can use to get the best deal for your company. At the end of the program, you'll have more confidence, more skills, and we'll get better deals in the process. Remember, class starts January 13th, 2020. We hope to see you there. Check out the website to learn more. And now, back to the show. That is brilliant. And I will do a quick shout out. Obviously, not all companies have something as nice and laid out as this. But if you go to the AmericanNegotiationInstitute.com/guides, there is a salary negotiation guide. And in that guide, we've created a huge list, kind of like a menu, of all these different things that you can ask for in a negotiation. So maybe it's not pay that you're able to get more of, but maybe it's things more like more sick days or more maternity leave. So I love that there's the idea of moving towards this. Now, obviously, not everything can fall on the companies. I mean, they can only go so far as to encourage women to ask. So what are some things that we can do to encourage the women to stop feeling like they need to be broken and kind of moving towards getting to the point where they feel confident enough to ask? What are some things that they can do for that?
I think one of the things that I read recently that I found really interesting was this idea of looking at the negotiation in a couple different frameworks. So for example, you can look at it as a negotiation, so kind of asking for something. You can look at it as bending. You can look at it as shaping. And all of these different frameworks have a different influence on kind of the likelihood that I'm going to negotiate. So if I see it as something that's kind of bending, it's something that's existing, I might be more likely to initiate. Or if I see myself as shaping my work life, then I'm more likely to negotiate. So I think kind of shifting the mindset and seeing that negotiation is really a tool as opposed to a burden or you know, necessarily a source of conflict is one thing. So it's kind of a mindset shift in that sense.
I love that. And let's move on to our third point. What do you mean by resilience?
So that could be a whole day's worth of conversation on its own. There are so many different ways to look at resilience. And I think that's one of the main things that I want to put out there is that, you know, there's so many different ways. There's, you know, these environmental characteristics that we're talking about. So having an environment that supports you to be able to make mistakes or to negotiate, all of these things can encourage resilience. We can also look at resilience as a process. So it's something that we kind of, you know, there's as a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it's kind of continuous. And it's not just, you know, you have it or you don't. We can also look at it in terms of behavior. So what kind of habits do I have that help me in these difficult situations? And so I think having this really broad understanding of what resilience is also important, and being aware of what are the factors that make me resilient. So what helps me get back up after I've had a difficult situation?
Fantastic. That is brilliant. Where are some of the ways that we can recognize where we have that resilience? What are some of those factors?
I think being aware of how I react to a difficult situation. So building that kind of list of habits. And so I've been following a number of kind of thought leaders in this area recently, and one of them said, next time you have a difficult situation, have a list of things that you do to make yourself feel better, for example. And so I love that idea of thinking about, for example, for me, whenever I have a setback or something doesn't go the way I want, I start thinking about, what did I learn out of this? What kind of purpose does this kind of setback serve? Maybe it's not today, maybe it's 6 months from now, maybe it's a year from now that I really get the benefit of this setback. But to have that kind of shift and start thinking about, okay, give that setback some purpose.
I love that. And, it's so important because a lot of times we're so afraid to have those failures under our belt. And so figuring out how we can learn from those situations. I know one of the big things is imposter syndrome and being afraid of that failure, being afraid of being seen as a failure. So how can you learn and grow from that? I love that. What are some areas that women might have blind spots in these negotiations or in the fix the women mindset?
I think, one of the things you said well earlier too is this idea that, to get out of this mindset that there's something broken and that needs to be fixed rather than actually doing a kind of an analysis of our own strengths. And so really focusing on, okay, what is it that I'm good at, as opposed to trying to fit into some sort of stereotype of what it means to be a good negotiator or a good leader or, a good manager of some kind. And so really focusing, okay, what is it that I do well, and putting yourself in situations where those strengths can really shine. And so I think a lot of times that we try to force fit kind of our own behaviors into these sort of stereotypes of what it means to be, a leader, or what it means to negotiate something, or what conflict means, for example. And so we can kind of have a broader understanding of all these different things by considering, again, our own strengths.
Ah, fantastic. And we are coming up on time. So I wanted to ask you one more question. What is one thing that you are wanting to leave our audience with, your most successful tip or technique or piece of advice to empower our females?
Well, I think a couple different things. First, I would say, instead of focusing on what could go wrong, really try to focus on what could go right. I think, but there's also two sides to that, right? So then kind of doing a worst case scenario analysis, but then also start kind of balance that out with all the things that could go right, what kind of opportunities could be opened by this negotiation. And when something does go wrong, be compassionate to yourself. I think we should talk to ourselves like we would talk to a friend, tell them it's all right, focus on the constructive part, really have that compassion for yourself as you would for another person. And finally, that this all can be learned. And so even if you're not a top negotiator now, this is something that you can continue to work on. And if you meet that as a goal, if you become aware of having that as a goal, then that's something that you'll be conscious of, and as you go through time, you'll be scanning your environment for opportunities to practice and opportunities to improve yourself.
Brilliant. Brooke, you are brilliant. I love it. How can our guests get in touch with you now that we are at time?
I'm on LinkedIn. That's one of the easiest ways, or also my own website. So it's brookegosdog.com. And so there's a contact form and feel free to reach out, and I'm happy to chat about any of these topics further.
Fantastic. And we will put all of those links in the description below. So go check that out. Go connect with Brooke. Brooke, thank you so much. It has been an absolute pleasure. Really enjoyed having you.
Great. Thank you again.
Thanks again for being a listener of the Ask with Confidence podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe and review. We want this podcast to reflect what you, the listener, are experiencing in your everyday life, and your feedback will help us do just that. Again, thank you, and we hope you join us in the next episode.